Next Sunday morning, we're going to be looking at some different things about how he's such a great friend. And the Lord kind of led this to my heart, and I pray that God works in your heart and mind about it. One of the things I think is valuable in a friend is someone who is an example to us, someone who helps us grow as Christians. Doesn't always mean that we're going to have maybe the same interests, but if someone's going to try to sharpen you and try to strengthen you, as the Bible talks about, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends.
Right.
I think one of the important things we got to look at. Now, once again, I know the whole reason why Jesus came to this world was to seek and to save that which was lost. So he did leave us a lot of examples of things we should do, and we can learn a lot of things from that. I understand that the main reason why it came, he didn't just come to be an example, didn't just come to heal some people.
Right.
He came to die for our sins.
Right.
But while he was here, he showed us how we should live too.
Right.
And here in John chapter 13, he lays down something that's really important. It says even in verse 15, he says, "For I have given you an example." And that's what Jesus here gives him an example. And this example, he gives us an example of service. Now, I wish I was a little better storyteller. I wish I could actually go back and show you the surprise the disciples must have had on their face after they had gotten up from supper, and Jesus gets up and he takes off his outer garment and girds himself with a towel and goes around and begins to wash his disciples' feet. I'm sure that they were shocked, or maybe when they were rising up and they saw what Jesus was doing, maybe what was going on in their mind was, "Wow, we're in trouble now. Look what we've done. He's teaching us another lesson." And it's just an amazing passage of scripture, and it's just an example of how we are supposed to serve others. I wonder if we would say, "Yes, I'm serving God." Or how many of us would say, "Yes, I am serving the Lord, and I know with the best of my ability I'm serving the Lord." And we come to this passage of scripture, and we look at this, and this teaches us so many different things about service, shows us by the example of Jesus Christ what he has done for us and how we should learn. And this should motivate us and encourage us to want to leave this place and just be able to serve others. And it's not a very attractive way to serve others, but I think Jesus did that on purpose. Now, just an introduction for him, this was the worst of worst jobs. Even under the Jewish law, if you had a Jewish slave, you could not force him to wash somebody else's feet. But if they were a Gentile slave, you could make them do whatever they wanted to do. So that shows you how bad, and I don't know about you, but feet washing is not something that I don't think I would really have much enjoyment in doing. And this idea of service, it's not talking about that we should go around washing other people's feet. I know the Bible, I know there's some churches out there that does this. I think he's just giving example. And that day and in that culture, I don't know if it really, if you want to do it and people want to translate that to today's time and period, the being humble, that's fine. Go ahead. But when you come to my house, don't expect me to wash your feet, though. So that's not something, you know. It's a hard thing. I mean, obviously, if the Lord told us to do it, that's fine. But he doesn't command us to do this. He shows us an example here. Shows us some different important key ingredients here that I think we could learn a lot from. And this morning's message might not be the easiest to hear, but it also is going to be something I think that could help us if we would take it in and we would listen to it. Let's go ahead and look in John chapter 3, starting verse number 1. It said, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew..." Now, remember, Jesus knew everything. He knew what was going on. He knew he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. Now, the hour had come. He says in John chapter 17, "My hour has come." It's the moment in time that had been promised all the way back in the garden. Everything has led up to this point, that there was a Messiah coming and that there was going to be a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. I mean, probably millions of lambs had died for this. And this moment, this climax, what everything had been basing for, what everyone had been looking for, what everything had been pointed to, was this very moment in time, this night. And you can imagine what was going on in this, in Jesus' mind. Yes, all God, but all human also. We see later on in the garden, he's sweating great drops of blood. We see that he knows that someone's going to deny him. He knows one of his close ones is going to betray him. He knows that the whole world's going to be turned upside down. So there's a lot on Jesus' mind right now. But even during this time, that was tremendous pressure, I'm sure. It takes time to teach his disciples many lessons. I love the books of John, the chapters, chapter 13, all the way up to the crucifixion just seeing Jesus walk and teach disciples those things that are so close to his heart. You know, if a person knows they're getting ready to pass away, they ask for their family and friends to come and they share with them some of the most important things to them. They bring them in and maybe they show them how close they are and how important they are to them. And sometimes they'll give them instructions. Sometimes a husband may tell the wife, now remember, you know, there's this life insurance policy here and there's this here and there's this here. And make sure you do this and make sure. So Jesus is bringing those that are closest to him and he institutes the Lord's Supper here. And here he wants to teach him something. He wants to teach him about serving one another. Now the thing is, you know, if you go back to Luke, in Luke 22, 24, the Bible says, in the same day, in the same time period, even possesses it actually during the dinner time, says, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Now picture this. Jesus, on the eve of his death, he has told the disciples this, he has explained this to the disciples, and he is getting ready to institute the Lord's Supper. One of them is going to betray him, one of them is going to deny him, Thomas is going to question him later on, he knows everything that's going to happen, and he comes to this point, and amongst the 12, there's an argument going on. Who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus here, under that context, rises from where he's at, and begins to wash your feet. Let's go ahead and read here a little bit. So now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You know, Jesus, when he's rebuking them for arguing amongst themselves, he's showing them love and he's helping them to understand a principle that needed to be shown. And supper being ended. So we see the time period here. It's before he has instituted the Lord's Supper, but it's also a time when they have finished eating. The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knowing, now listen to this verse. Jesus knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. Say, Pastor, what's the big deal about that verse? He owned everything. I mean, he was from God. He was God's son. He was God himself. He was the master. He deserved all power and all praise and all glory. He knew this. He had everything. Keep on going. He rises from the supper and lay aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Even knowing that he possessed everything, he rises up, takes off his outer garment, which is taking off the robe he had may have been one that was specially made for him, but he lowered himself into taking on the form of a servant and putting on what would be considered a servant's type garment and girding himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now go ahead and skip to verse number 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Christians, today I want us to be encouraged with this example of Jesus Christ about being a servant to others. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us. Lord, in a passage of scripture that probably would, in a sense, rebuke us all as the disciples who are worried about other things, Jesus was worried about serving one another. Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts and minds, that you put something in there, Lord, that we never forget. And Lord, that we'd be inspired by your example. Lord, in many ways, you've shown us examples of how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to say and how we're supposed to respond. But here, you show us by this great example, washing the disciples' feet, how we're supposed to serve one another. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, this morning, we're going to just look at a few things, going to kind of speak to you from my heart like I did last week. As we grow closer and closer to Friend Day, my heart is always stirred about wanting to see people saved, but also wanting to see Christians grow. wanting our church to get a heart's desire to want to bring other people to Jesus Christ and also to be the type of friend that God desires us to be. And that's what Jesus is being here. He is sharpening the disciples. He is putting them to a spot and saying, this is what you should do. Some things I want you to learn from this. Number one is you should never get too big or too important to serve. You should never get too big or too important to serve. Let's look what it says again here in verse number 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things unto his hands and that he was come from God and that he went to God. Then you go to verse number 13 and 14. He explains, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And so here what he's teaching them is, look, don't ever get too big to think that you can't serve. Don't ever get to the spot where you think you're too important that you can't serve the Lord. And that's what Jesus is teaching him here. Remember, if you go into Luke, Luke says that they had a strife. They had actually, the word strife was, I looked it up, means a contention and anger and enmity. They had a contention amongst them. They all wanted to be the greatest. They all wanted to be the one that sat next to Jesus at the final time, and maybe even the supper. Remember when James and John's family came and his mother came and said, can they be the one? Can one sit on your right and one sit on your left? And there was a great contention there. Christians, this is a problem in a lot of churches. We need to get to past this idea, and this is what Jesus is exactly teaching them. Jesus deserved all praise. He deserved all honor. He deserved all glory. He possessed all things. And to teach us something, he gets on his feet and he washes and he does the lowest of lowest jobs. Now, there was a need there. Their feet were dirty. Back then, the dust, they wore sandals. Their feet needed help. And many times when they went into a house, the host or hostess would have a servant wash the feet. And Jesus here is just doing that. But it is the lowliest job. Now, Christian, you got to remember something here. You know, there's people in churches for different reasons, different thoughts. Some people come to church to fulfill a need. And some people come to worship God. Some people come to get notoriety. Sometimes people look at church as a place where they can build their business. Hey, I'm going to join the biggest church in town because I'm a realtor, or I'm this profession, or I'm this profession, or a car salesman, things like that. And they try to use the church house as a place to drum up business. Jesus here is teaching them something and teaching them something really important. There's a purpose and a plan here, and that purpose and the plan here is to serve. But many times, our pride gets in the way. And I want us to be careful here not to become like the disciples which should be accounted the greatest, that there's people who say, I want things done my way. You know, the church should be run this way, or it should be done this how, and you're going to be wrong if you don't do it my way. Some can only see decisions on how they affect me or how they affect my family. They don't give any account on how it's going to help serve others and help win people to Christ. They say, well, how is it going to mess with my friends, and how is it going to mess with this and mess with that? I'm not trying to be mean, but they're trying to say, hey, I'm important enough. You need to listen to me. Hey, what my opinion matters. And don't get me wrong. This is not a dictatorship. If anybody has a concern, if anybody has an opinion, if anybody has a, I'm willing and always open. The door is always open to hearing all those different things. But when someone comes up and says, my rights are more important than reaching the gospel, there's a problem. Reaching those of the gospel. When someone comes up and says, I'm the one that's the greatest, I'm the one that needs notice, I'm the one that you should ask my opinion about what you're going to do here, or I'm the one that should be the one that's set up, there's an issue there. And that happens in a lot of churches. Nobody asked me. You say, Pastor, you're dwelling on this point. I think it's one of the most important points, because some of us have gotten too big, too important to serve. Some of us have gotten this idea in our mind that I'm not a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm here at church and I'm the one that should be served. It should be done my way, the way I have it, so I can have my needs met. Christians, that's an important. Jesus is sitting here on the eve of his death and says to them, let me give you an example. let me show you something. I know what's going on. I know there's contention among you. I'm getting ready to die for these sins, and all you can do is think about yourselves and think about how it's going to affect you and where you can sit on the kingdom. You don't care a thing about me or serving one another. Don't ever get too big or too important to serve. Next thing, you should not set limitations on who you're going to serve. This is another good one, and this is one I thought about. If you go and you read, and once again, if you read all the Gospels have different things about this supper, this night. But if you go down to verse number 18, it says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, and that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I sendeth, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, him that sent, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you should betray me. So he's just washed the disciples' feet. You know who's there? Judas's. I don't know about you, maybe John the Beloved, you know, some people think was Jesus' favorite. I don't think Jesus had favorites, but you know, someone he was close to. Maybe he washed his feet. He needed it. No, no, no. He went around. He washed the whole rooms. He washed Thomas's feet, who's going to question him and doubt him later on after the resurrection. He washes Peter's feet, who had argued with him and had caused a lot of issues, but also that same night was going to deny him. He comes around and he washes Judas's feet, who's going to betray him into the hands of the soldiers. I tell you, there should never come a spot where we're not willing to try to help serve somebody else. I know there are people who, and once again, there's different levels of service. There's different ways of serving. I'm not talking about going out and throwing money out to people that do not want to work. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that let's look into our hearts and look into our minds and look into our spirits and be honest. Is there someone who I'm not willing to try to reach with the gospel or try to reflect Jesus Christ to? As I mentioned in Sunday school class, we talked about bitterness and we talked about forgiving others, that any two people in a church should be able to walk hand in hand and work together and be able to accomplish something together. But you know what? Sometimes there's people in one church that says, I can't work with so-and-so because they did this to me 10 years ago, or their child did this to me, or that my child said this about them, and they won't even sit next to each other, won't even work together. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The Bible says that we're supposed to be forgiving. There should not be a limitation on who we're going to serve. If we should allow God to speak to our hearts and say, you know what, if God wants me to do this, I'm going to go do this. You look at this example. He gave you as an example. He washed the feet of the person who was going to betray him. And that was an example that was, we should reach out to each and every person. Another thing I want you to see here in this passage of scripture is you should never be too busy to serve. I know that's my problem sometimes. There's so much I would like to do. There's so many things I would like to be a part of. There's so much I'd like to accomplish. And it seems like I only have 24 hours in a day. You ever felt like that? Yeah, 24 hours in a day. But I also, God had to teach me a lesson. You have 24 hours, and he says, I've given you responsibilities and jobs. Now fulfill these things and be wise when you take your time and how you use your body and use your time and things like that. But, you know, Jesus here, he's kind of busy right now. Tomorrow he's going to die, and he knows he's going to die. He's going to face it. He's going through a tremendous emotional and physical, but what does he do? He takes time to serve someone else. You know, I've heard people say, I have so much on my mind and so much to do, there's no way I can be involved. I think that's what Jesus is right here. He's got so much on his mind and so many things to do and so much he'd like to teach. Why would he stop and serve somebody else? Christian, why aren't we willing to help others? We've let our lives be crowded with so many things. We leave this alone. But Jesus is teaching them an example, just like I think he's teaching us an example this morning. Hey, look, there's a reason why you're here. He's showing the apostles, he says, I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. And Mark 10:45, the Bible says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He's saying here, look, I didn't come to this world to minister be ministered unto. I didn't come to this world to be served. I didn't come to this world to be counted who was going to be the greatest and who was going to wait on me and who was going to do this for me and who was going to... No, he said, I came to minister to others. He says, and give his life a ransom for many. Christian, you know, Jesus Christ's purpose on this world was to seek and to save that which was lost. He died for the sins of mankind. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, let me encourage you. Let me beg with you and plead with you. You know, the Bible tells us that that Jesus Christ has given his life a ransom for many. He has given his life so that you can have eternal life. But the Bible says you must put your faith and trust in him, recognize that you're a sinner and see your punishment of sin and repent of your sins and repent of your opinion of God and put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. He wants to ransom you. There was a price to pay for your sins, and he paid that price for you. You say, Pastor, what does that have to be about being too busy to serve? There were so many things that Jesus could have done, so many things on his heart, and so many things on his mind, but you know what? He still took time to serve one another. You see how the crowds would throng him, but he still stopped and listened to blind Bartimaeus. The crowds were all around him, but he still stopped when the woman had touched him with the hem of his garment with the issue of blood. You know, there was crowds around him, but he still went to that man in John chapter 4, I believe. And he helped the one that was sitting beside the pool and helped him. He took time. There was much for him to do. Don't be too busy to serve. He shows us as an example the night that couldn't he have taken this night off? I mean, he's going to die for the sins of mankind tomorrow. He is going through a lot. Couldn't he just, you know, can I get one night off? No, he takes the time to show us. Last thing, I like this point. You will never be happier than when you are serving. You know, I know what sometimes with people with their Christian lives, they come and they grab a hold and say, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to be happy about it. And I think sometimes when it comes to serving others and witnessing and reaching out, and you know, when we talk about this, you know, people's like, okay, he said it again. I'm supposed to listen. I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to be happy about it. But look what it says in verse number 17. Verse 17, the Bible says, if you know these things, and what things is he talking about? Talking about serving one another, even in the lowliest of forms, never being too big to serve, never saying you're too busy to serve, never saying you're only willing to serve certain people. He said, if you know these things, he says, happy are ye if you do them. Now, this is one of the things that brings joy into a believer's life. If you're not serving others the way that Christ shows an example here, you're not as happy as you could be. Many times people's lives are miserable and they don't know what the answer is. Try serving somebody else. And it says it right here. It says, and it's not me that says it. It says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know, if you went and did a study of the Bible, things that bring happiness, things that bring joy, it doesn't say money. It doesn't even say the things of the world's possessions. Listen to some of these verses. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, I see some parents that get happy because their children can play sports or play an instrument. Great and fantastic. I think you should encourage your kids to do that. They said one of the things that's going to bring the greatest joy in your life is when they're living for God and walking in truth. Luke 15:7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I don't know any greater joy that I have found in my life, or at least is bringing someone else to Christ. Hallelujah. Having the opportunity to win someone to Christ. I know salvation, I know relationships, I know marriage, all that brings joy, but when you can win someone to Christ, it ranks right up to there.
Yes, sir.
John 15:11, where it talks about loving one another. He says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. Wow, the joy that Jesus had. And that your joy might be full. That, you know, I think that sometimes in our lives, our Christian lives, have become lives of hardship and lives where we can't have joy, and lives where we can't be happy. But he tells us there's some things here that's going to bring happiness. It's going to come service. It's going to come when we are serving him. And even though sometimes somebody might, you might suffer for righteousness' sake, it's going to bring joy. It's going to bring joy when you bring someone to Christ. It's going to be joy when you hear about loving other people. And it's amazing. Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Doesn't say that we have to be happy about our situation, does it? It says rejoice in the Lord. You always have something you can be joyful about. And the Bible says here, and Jesus is teaching his disciples here an important truth. He's not just saying you need to go serve and you need to do this and you need to do that because you need to bring people to the kingdom. And this is going to be work. And this is going to be hard. And this is going to be tough. And it's one of those things you just got to do it. No. He says, if you will learn to serve with this type of heart, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We come back to this spot, and I thought for a second. You know, if I'm thinking here, I know Jesus is going to die. He's talked about it before. These are his closest followers, and they're arguing once again amongst themselves who's going to be the greatest. Wouldn't you consider that inconsiderate? I know I would. I mean, I don't know if I would have washed the disciples' feet. I think I would have just laid into them if I was Jesus. But they probably wouldn't have learned anything. But when he took off that garment and he rose up, and I can imagine what was going through their mind. He gave them a picture, and a picture is worth 1,000 words, it says, and taught them something that was so important, that was so much truth here. Yes, they were being inconsiderate. Yes, they should have been. Jesus, what can we do to help you? Jesus, if you're going to die tomorrow, tell us more. We want to learn more. What can we do? No, they don't see that. You see him being inconsiderate, worried about, oh, how does this affect me? Or what's going to happen to me? Or am I going to be the greatest? Or is Peter shouldn't be the greatest. He runs at the mouth too much. And, you know, John shouldn't be the greatest because he always is buttering up to Jesus. And, you know, this person and this person, you know, no, that's not what service is about. And that's what Jesus is teaching them. Get this out of your heart. Get this out of your mind. He teaches them that is important. As it says in verse number 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. You know, I was thinking as studying and writing through this, I think sometimes we're just as inconsiderate as these disciples are when we get so focused on ourselves that we don't serve. He's teaching them the same lessons. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. They have the wrong mindset. They have the wrong heart. They're sitting amongst believers and they're worried about positioning. They're worried about glory. They're worried about notoriety. They're worried about who's going to get the credit. Who's going to get to be able to say who gets to be said done. Who gets to do this? Who gets to be in charge? Or who gets to give their opinion? They're worried about all that. And Jesus says, learn to serve one another. And Christian, I think we need to stop this me thought in our lives. There's craziness that happens in the world today. I'll just use one illustration. Hope I don't make anybody mad, but if I do, you can tell me later about it. Kids Crusade. We have great Kids Crusade. We like Kids Crusade. I like Kids Crusade. We have points. We do points because we want to encourage the kids. We have a winner and loser. But I tell you, one of the things that drive me the craziest is when people start complaining about points. I want it to be as fair as it can be. Don't get me wrong. And I want the team that gets the most points, that earns it, wins it. And I know that those ladies work very hard at the registration table. We have much love for the ladies at the registration table. We do not want them to quit next year. They do a great job. But when I hear parents complaining, or even a long time ago, team leaders complaining about points and things like that, I'm like, have you missed what we've done? Have you missed that you saw kids saved? Have you missed the fact that you see kids that you have not seen for a long time that are hearing the gospel and that we're here? Yes, we have fun. Yes, we play games. But I hear people and they bicker and they complain about this visitor or that visitor. And it's not the kids. It's parents or it's adults. And obviously, I wouldn't be saying it if it happened very regularly, but it just gives you an illustration. I remember one year there was a team leader that wanted to count up the points because they thought that they counted wrong because they didn't win. And I wanted to say to that person, it wasn't when I was the pastor, I wanted to say to that person, it's all done and over with. It's great. No one's going to cheat you. But they were worried about something that, and they missed the whole point. And when we come to church and we're worried about how me and how it's going to affect me and what my kids get to, you know, my kids got to be first, or I need to be first, or I need to sing the solo, or I need to be one that preaches, or I should be the one that does this, or I should. This is what the lesson was about. And it's for all of us. It's for me just as well. The Bible teaches us by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now listen to this. By humility comes honor. When we're humble, that's when we'll be honored. When we be lifted up, and I would much rather be lifted up in God's eyes than any man's eyes. I would much rather be humble. And the Bible says if we're humble, he'll lift us up. But the disciples here says, and there was a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And I think part of the problem here is we need to work on this, just like the disciples did. Am I serving? I mean, here's the points. Don't get too big to where you can't serve. Don't set limitations on who you're going to serve. Let God lead, guide, direct. You should never be too busy to serve. You will never be happier than when you serve. I think we got a great church. And I love the people of this church. I pray for the people of this church. But are we serving like we could or we should? And if we are serving, are we doing it for these reasons and these principles? Not like, I'm going to do it because you told me I had to. Pastor said I need 3 people that I need to pray for and invite. I'm going to grudgingly write these 3 people's names down and I'm going to. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know it now, right? You know that we're supposed to serve, and we're supposed to serve with our hearts, and we're supposed to not be too important to serve. We're supposed to be able to be willing to serve everybody. That's even people we don't like, even people who have offended us. We're not too busy to serve, and we know these things now. So are we going to serve now? And I don't think we have a lot of competition in our church. I don't think that I don't hear that a lot. But I know it's something that goes inside people's minds and hearts. Lots of times it's not even said, but it's in their hearts. Why doesn't anybody ask? Why doesn't my kids, what about this? What we want to teach our kids, principles, truths. Teach them not about me or how I can convince something or rig something. No. It's how I can serve somebody else, how I can be a blessing to someone else, how it's not about the strife that's amongst one another. It's about how we can serve to wash one another's feet. Jesus gave us an example. This morning, let's follow that example. Maybe God's worked on your heart. I know he's worked on my heart. I don't care about being the greatest. I've told the deacons lots of times when I talk to them, I've told them, some of them, if not all of them in the past, that a deacon job is to be a servant. I believe that. But I get to be number one servant. You know, what do you mean? I mean, I get to serve before anybody else. I view it that way. As a pastor, I know the Bible says there's a shepherd, overseer of the church. I get all that. But I view my job as a servant of Jesus Christ. And I want to serve. I want to help others. When we have work days, I do my best to try to be a servant. Time doesn't always get to the point to be able to do as much as you can. Physical limitations, you don't always get to do as much as you can. There's lots of different ways of service, but serving, don't ever get too big. Pastor gets too big to help serve, then he's too big. Pastor gets too busy to help serve, then he's too busy. Pastor gets to where he doesn't want to help serve certain people, then there's a problem there. What we would all agree about the pastor, what about us? Jesus gave them an example. Let's follow that example. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.